not here as an accident. You are here with a purpose. And that was the question last night we were asked. Who are you? Why you are here? And where you are going? So I want to ask all of you, let us pray. You have a freedom very this moment that third world country don't have it. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful reality that freedom is given by Almighty God. So let's pray and ask God to continue to give us a freedom from our own self, the battle, the demon that we fight in our own souls. We have our own demons that we are fighting. They have different forms. Maybe it's a lust, maybe it's a trust, maybe it's an issue of lying, or maybe abuse, or maybe something else you are going through. So let's give it all to the Lord of hosts who will fight for us. Who's the one who said, the battle is mine? And we have to just allow him to fight the battle for us. And he wants us to say, just, even though you walk through the valley of shadow of death and doubt and abuse and verbal things, he will be there for you. So let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful camp, for the staff, for the videos, for the everything that you have prepared for us. And especially our awesome word of God that lead us, guide us, lift up us, and even give us security and purpose and remind us who you are and who we are and why we are here and where will we be. Without you are we are lost soul like a ship without a compass. We need your direction. Father, your spirit guide and lead every individual here. We are all here facing battles. We know our enemy. We know our weakness. Sometimes we are the worst enemy of our own souls. And the biggest wall of Jericho between you and us. The biggest giant that we are in ourselves. So Father, may your spirit lead us, guide us, as we talk about your beautiful plan, your purpose. And Father, I lift up the United States of America before you. Your head protection as you has long ago around Job. Your fiery swords around the tree of life. Your wonderful spirit was guiding Paul. The same spirit, same power, same plan, Father, for the United States of America. Guide us all. I pray, Father, keep all the enemy far, far away. And let everybody be thankful for freedom that we have here. Bless our time together. I ask all these things in your mighty and holy and awesome name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Wow. I was thinking and talking, and I said, you know, this subject is just so huge. There are so many volumes, so many books are written on the subject called the Battles of the Ages. There's so much in the Bible. It's from chapter 1, 2 of Genesis, go all the way to Revelation. So as I was thinking and talking, I said, what should I present? So I had some, you know, friends in the Bible. I went to them and I say, can you tell me something for encouraging the young generation who maybe have forgotten or maybe think that you guys are just a legend or maybe you are just a myth or somebody imagination? I said, tell me something. I went to my friends, and those friends found in the Bible. So I first thing, I said, you know, I need to find out how can I communicate this message. So the battle of the ages is the battle of every woman and man we are fighting individually. And comes in different form. Job have his battle when he was standing before Almighty God. Moses has his battle to fight when he was facing a tough and enemy that was, you know, called himself God. In the time of Egyptian, he was the God in their self and him to self like a Pharaoh. Everybody in the Bible, everybody today, we are fighting a battle, and we have a battle. And I just want to let you know. So I went to my friend, a friend that is a long-distance friend. I haven't met him yet personally. One day I will meet him. His name is Paul. So he suggests me something. He said, I want to tell you, Faisal. He says, whatever is written in earliest time, whatever was written in the Bible, it is written for you, for me, and for the ages to come. So take some advice, take some encouragement, take some perspective. So I talked to Paul and I said, Paul, how can I understand Isaiah when he wrote about, you know, the battle is getting ready. The battle is on. And he says, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth who fight for you, who will take a fight for you and defend you. So I talked to Paul and he said, you should go and talk to Isaiah. I said, wow, Isaiah. Long ago, and many people I start talking and thinking and searching, and I found out he's known as a prince of, you know, prophets. A wonderful man, mighty, humble, and focused, and determined, and he is a wonderful example for us to learn from him. I don't know too much the history of, you know, John Wayne, but, you know, if I want to learn his, you know, course, guess what? I will watch his movies. I don't know too much, you know, what was happening in World War II, World War I. If I want to observe that whole information, a lot of people have done a great production. So I go and watch movies. So the idea I want to come across in your mind, if you want to know the battle of the ages, the battle of your own soul that is going on. There's so many things going on in this world. There's a new thing going on. It's called a new age. New age, and people trying to be called themselves, I am God. And they are trying to, you know, shovel in your throat that big fat lie that you can have your own planet, that you can have, you know, so many kids and you can do whatever you want. That is a big fat lie. I can tell you the story. I was flying to Birmingham, Alabama camp, and there was a cutest girl, blonde girl, blue eyes, like, you know, her eyes was like a blue pool over there, like a blue ridge, and she had a guitar, she had all kind of necklace, and you just so happened came sit next to me, and I said, wow, I know where you come from. I saw her, and the minute she's talking, plane took off, and she said, do you know, I want to tell you something. I said, what? She said, I'm a God. I said, wow, beautiful God. She said, I'm God. I said, wow. I said, tell me something. She said, I've been to India. I know about Ram and Lakshman and Sita, all those different deities they worship in India. Also, I know about Buddha, the famous beggar in the history, who want to tell you, you know, to learn self-control, but himself have a no control, and he got a big 10-inch or 10-foot belly. I don't want to follow someone who is a glutton. So she's talking to me about, you know, Buddhism, talking about Hinduism, and talking about the New Age. She said, I will have my own planet. I am a God. I know all things, this and that. I said, wow. I said, do you know anything about Islam? No. I said, let me tell you. Let me tell you something about Islam. So I started telling her, and her face was like melting like, you know, chocolate chip cookie in the 117 Fahrenheit weather. And I say, you know, I want to tell you. Are you sure you are God? Oh, yes, I am God. I said, can I tell you the definition of God? I said, I learned somewhere. God means, you know, he's unlimited, have all the knowledge. Nothing can, you know, pierce him or kill him or harm him. And by the way, God don't need a plane to go from one state to the other state. If you are God, why you are in the plane? She started looking at me, and the long story I'm not going through all, but the point, that new age girl just was, you know, so blinded, but I put her in the right place saying, if you are God, why you are paying money? You can go anywhere. So there will be a lot of things that you are going to be presented in your school, in your community, in your, you know, youngster party. Hey, I am your, you are mine, but tell me, let me tell you something. And these are the battles. Actually, the new age is not the new age. It is the old age that began in the garden. The big fat lie that was presented by Satan to Eve. Your grandma Eve. Sometime I say, people say, hey, you can't run. I said, my grandma can run faster than you. My grandma is better than you. She was deceived in a garden of Eve. So, we are facing a battle. And that battle we are going through all. So I talked to Paul, and Paul said, you should go and talk to Isaiah. I said, okay. So I start going through his book, and guess what? I found in the book of Isaiah, there's a 66 chapter. How many? 66 chapter. I said, I got 1 hour, and I have to sit down here and talk to you, what you experienced, what you saw, what you learned, what you went through, how you saw everything come together. For I don't know how many hundred years, and I'm going to present that in 1 hour. Help me, Isaiah, to present something to the young people. So I found out some information. So 66 chapter of Isaiah, it is like a miniature Bible. The whole Bible of 66 chapter. And if you study first 39 chapter, it is like a summary of the Old Testament. Each chapter will give you something unique happen in the book of Genesis, like, you know, full book of Genesis, chapter 50, all 50 chapters. If you read first chapter, Isaiah will cry out and he will say, O Israel, Shema Israel. Everybody knows, but even donkey and ox knows their master and their feeding place. But Israel, you have forgotten the living God. So anyways, 66 chapter of Isaiah is the summary of the whole Bible. First 39 chapter is the 39 books Old Testament. Chapter 40 to 27 is like the whole New Testament. And I was talking, I said, Isaiah, what happened to you? First 39 chapter, he's talking about himself. He was there, he experienced, he saw what God is going to do, and he mentioned himself 16 times. After that, he did not mention his name, and one thing he's mentioning constantly over and over, and that was about Jesus Christ, my servant, the Holy One, the God, the hope of Israel, the one who will lead you, guide you. So anyways, that was the takeaway from Isaiah when I was studying. So it was needed to represent to you guys that he put it in so well, the battle of the ages. David fought his Goliath. So my question is, what is your Goliath today? It's a lie, it's a lust, it's a rejection, it's a neglecting, or it's abuse, or maybe your loved one have seized you, or somebody have put you down, and you just came so down that you cannot lift up your head. Is that your Goliath? Are you facing a wall of Jericho, like they were saying, a huge wall? What kind of wall you are hitting daily in your life? If you are hitting a wall of, you know, confusion, God is God of, you know, solutions. If you are hitting that wall with, you know, I'm not worthy. God said, you are worthy. That's why I send my son for you. So whatever the Goliath you are facing, or the wall of Jericho is standing between you and Almighty God, the Lord of hosts, He is willing. He is willing throughout the whole history of mankind. Always He said, I will be there for you. When you need a shoulder to lean on, I will be there for you. When you are desperate for a touch of loving and kindness and gentleness, I will be there for you. I know we are all in battle. This is the story I never told anybody. I'm going to tell you. So you will not say, hey, he's just speaking up there. He don't know what. Yeah, I've been through verbal abuse. I know what felt like it. I know the discrimination. In Pakistan, 98% people who hate you, who want to cut your head or put you in prison for rest of your life to make your life miserable. I have experience of discrimination, a loneliness. And depression. When there's nobody that you are standing alone, but there's a somebody who's always standing with you when you are alone. So I want to tell you the story. I never told. I was sharing with Brother Jean and Carrie and Sister Nan over dinner in Arizona. Wild, wild west. I love it. Wild, wild west. But hey, the wild, wild west is the most beautiful, awesome manner place that you can learn to be a man, to be a gentle, to be a hero, to be a follower. When you learn somebody have a lot of poop on their boots, but you don't look at their poop on their boots, you look at their heart and their gentle soul. That's the wild, wild west. A lot of poop, but a wonderful place to live. So I'm going to tell you the story. So one weekend before I became a believer, there was a circus going on in our city, and I went by myself to just look at the circus. There was electric chairs, electric cup, and electric car was going on. Everybody with their family having fun. They are going on, all kind of things. And I'm standing there miserable, looking around, thinking my father in prison and my mom is just trying to work in homes to feed us and help us, and I was just so fed up with the life. I just want to die. I just want to give up. I just want to have nothing to do with the life, because I was hoping maybe one day my life will be like that. There will be someone put their hands on my shoulder and lead me to the swings and popcorn machine and ice cream, but there was no one, and I was miserable. I came home. We have a old house, Carrie saw that, and we have like a 3-foot shade that you can look over into the street. So first thing I was thinking, I will just jump off it, and I said, no, it's only 30-25 feet, it will just break legs, it will be not good. So I found a little rope. That's the rope they use in Pakistan to keep your pants up. So that was the only best thing I found. So I tried to, choke myself and choke the life out of me. And I'm just, And when I saw, the light going off, and I'm just, lights going off of my eyes, and I just let it go. So I said, it hurt too much. So I stopped that way. And then I took the same rope, trying to tie, and just want to jump. It broke. Second and the third thing, I said, I need to just get out of this body, this misery. Guess what? As I was trying to commit a suicide, I never told anybody, but I'm telling you because maybe someone is here. who have tried or maybe thinking about it, the voice I heard, I want to tell you what I heard. The voice said, you want to go in a coward way? That's a coward way to die. That's the voice I heard after two tries and the third one I'm trying. The voice said, you wanna die in a coward way? Like a coward? That's not a brave way to go. Guess what? I listened to that voice. I have no clue back then, but I can say now. That was a God voice that spared me so I can be here. To tell you the story, the voice says, don't die the death of coward. So if you are planning to do something like that, stupid, it's not worth it. Bring your anxiety, bring your pain, bring your battle, the one who have experience, who fought so many fights in the history of mankind. He knows. So after I finished talking to Isaiah, he suggests me, he said, there's another man you should talk. And he suggests me that man. He said, you know, you need to understand, we are in battle, and that battle is not our playground. This earth is not your playground that you play with things and walk away. This earth is not your playground. It is a battleground, whether you like it or not. Like John says, if you are abused and persecuted for the sake of righteousness, it's considered worthy. And if you are abused and confused and persecuted for no reason, there's no gain. So you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be put down, you're going to be facing your enemy with and without Jesus Christ. Why not join Him? Give Him your burdens. Give Him your anxieties, your fear, the problem, the trust issue that somebody have abused you and then you wanna never be the girl that you used to be. And you're saying, I'm not going to let anybody touch me. I'd rather be a girl's body and have a man mentality, and I want to be the new thing that came up in USA. Sex changer. I don't know the big word, but the sex changer. Hey, you can have a woman body, but you know, we will make you man. And it will hurt a little bit and a lot of money. Don't do it. So you are going to face enemy with and without Christ. Why not? Let Jesus Christ take your battle. So I was talking to other man, and that man told me, his name is David. His name is David. He told me, he said, you know, we need to give ourselves to Jesus Christ. So therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey it lust. Your body wanna do damage. Your body wanna do disobedience to Almighty God. Your body even not loyal to yourself. The flesh of the lust and everything wanna destroy you. Satan is not your friend. He will show up like, you know, a person serving at McDonald's. Sir, how can I serve you? Yes, a double cheeseburger and triple bacon and with, you know, a lot of fries. Yes, sir, we will take your money, and long on the road you will die because our food will make you sick. That's the way Satan presents you. It looks good. It feels good. It tastes good. But it will destroy you. That's the way Satan presents his agenda. So the body of the lust. The lust is just bad. It's not good. It's not in your favor. So that's why Paul says, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as the instruments of righteousness. But I was searching in the Bible. There's a 7,435 but found in the Bible. But. I'm not talking about this but. I'm talking about but. B-U-T but. more than 7,000. And there's a reason for every but. But, body to sin as an instrument of righteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as an instrument of righteousness to God. So, which way are you presenting? Are you going to hurt? You are going to face disappointment, but the question is, with Christ or without Christ? With Christ will be gain, awesome. Without Christ, you will be miserable and hitting your head somewhere that you're not supposed to. So present your bodies, present your soul, present your idea, present your whatever problem. I gave up my suicide thinking to God and I say, you know, if you give me life, I will live for you, and that's why I'm here. I'm here. So I was talking, you know, Paul, and Paul was just, you know, teaching me so much. And he says, you know, sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but take that but with you, but under grace. You're not under, you know, a mean dog master. You are under gracious Lord who knows. He lived life. He went through everything that you can ever comprehend, even beyond. He knows what you like, what hurt you, what will not, you know, good for you, what will be better for you. I will say, trust in the Lord. There's a beautiful person, my life partner, Carrie, sitting. I want to tell you, I was looking for, you know, looking for life partner. Saying, I want to have a partner like this and this and this. 16 came. I broke 16 hearts in Pakistan. They were gorgeous. They were beautiful. They had a little bit money. But guess what? But they were not from God. They were not from God. So I hold on to the promise. The promise, Psalms 37 verse 4. Girls, if you are looking for a husband or life partner, which is natural, we are wired that way. Boys, if you are looking for a girl and you have a desire, it's natural. But put a grip on it. Hold on to. Don't give in to the lust that you want to have a 5 minute, not 5 minute even. You guys are exposed so much to Scubala out there in the media. Too much information out there in the, you know, all kind of websites. And you guys talk on text. I got some quotes for you. When your mom is on your shoulder and you, the new quotes is, MOS, mom's over shoulder, don't text me. MOS, POS, parents over shoulder, LH6, you know what does that mean? Let's have a sex. A lot of people are doing and diffusing the truth and defeating themselves before Satan. These are quotes. I'm not going to give you, probably you know some of them, but this should be given to your parents so they can check you. What are you doing under the blanket? Texting. So watch for God's grace. Do not give in to. That is some of them battle. A battle of sex. Battle of lust. Battle of lying. Battle of, you know, masking yourself with your fake identity. Have forsaken, forgotten God's goodness and saying, you know, I will serve my appetites. I will gain whatever I could. I want to have my own glory, just like Eve was driving and desiring for it. So I went to David, and David taught me some things. A wonderful man. And maybe neglected a little bit in his own family. I can say, you know, I have 4 brothers and 2 sisters. I'm the firstborn, and I'm treated like a king. Whatever I said, happened. Or I say, you know, my way or highway or go by way. As a firstborn. But all other, you know, the youngest kids, they were like, you know, in my family, like David. Don't care anybody. Nobody have anybody concerned. Where they are? They are in the street. Samuel come, and Samuel saying, that's all the kids you got, Jesse? No, there's one more. Oh, you didn't do any plan? No family plan? No, that was not there. So, Jesse, you know, son, David, I got to learn a lot from him. So he taught me this thing. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hand for war. If you don't know how to fight, get some advice from David. He's the real deal. Saul was a little bit confused. He said, you know, hey, take my arms, take my this, take my training. He has everything, but he was not willingly to fight his own battle. And David said, sir, paraphrasing, when a lion and bear and something else come upon my flock, guess what? I go with my, you know, stinky clothes, with my rod and with my, you know, swing, and I just go after and just get my stuff back because I'm a shepherd. So I learned from him. He said, you know, the Lord of hosts, train my hands for war, fingers for battle. You want to learn to battle? Look into the life of David. You want to learn how to stand in the mighty power of God? Look in and talk to Moses. These are people, real people. These are not myth. These are not just, you know, man-made story. The scripture, the word of God is alive and powerful and true, and it will guide you and help you. You're saying, just come on, finish this. We need to go out there, just get sweaty and flirt. Flirting is good. Then you have a boundary that you are longing for someone. So I want to tell you, fast food and fast girls and fast boys, never good. Fast food will kill you. So if you are just flirting there to take something like a robber and abuse it, I want to remind you, whatever you are doing with a girl, playing with her heart, it's not good. It will be leaving a mark for the rest of her existence. And the same way with you, if girls is doing something to just, you know, playing with your heart and that you are fighting your own demon, when can I get? What can I gain? What will be the good time to get in her pants? Stop it. Stop it. I have a friend, very, very good friend. He told me, he said, when your demon is taking over you, call me. Call me right away. Hey, this is the demon fighting in my soul. And he said, I will help you. So find somebody, a battle buddy. Battle buddy is a term Gene can explain better than me. Someone look after each other. Like Jonathan and David. Loyal to one another. Caleb and Joshua. So, that person can train you better. He have fought so many times. He was a famous in the history of Israel. He was famous in the history of, you know, Goliath. In the history of Saul. He was admired when he fought so much that God was continually granting him success. So I learned a lot. So where I was. The Lord of Sabaoth will teach you, guide you, help you, provide you, protect you, and even fight for you. So, spiritual warfare is on. Are you ready for battle? Are you ready for battle? Because these 5 days are going to be Gene, Salvador, came from all the way to, you know, I don't know. From all the way to Mexico, deep, deep down from, you know, place that you don't want to go. He came here for you. Gene went over there to meet this person and they are here for you. I'm here. We drove 1,300 miles not to, you know, have just, you know, chicken fried steak or, you know, corn dog. We are here for you. Everybody, Clint, everybody, Mark, people from Pennsylvania who's been serving you, providing you shirt and writing your name, Chris, Jonathan, everybody's here for you guys. And you need to get the idea, maybe you're worth something. I know you are maybe fighting as I was fighting in my soul. I'm not worth. Nobody care. Nobody even think about me. I'm not significant. Nobody even have a touch. I didn't have a father over my head. I grew up in a street, learning fight, breaking necks, arms, and hustler, making money, climbing. I was like, you know, gorilla. I learned that all on the streets. And now we got, you know, some kids in our home, 22 children, and I want to, you know, we want to, me and my wife, to be father to them because it was never in my life. So maybe something you are fighting, there was no father in my life and you going to make a choice. Either you going to be to someone as a fatherless or you going to be a father to someone. You never have a friend, you're going to be say, I'm going to close all doors, I'm not going to be a friend to anyone. You were abused, you're going to say, you know, I have to make a choice. Either I'm going to be the abuser or I'm going to be the defender. Choice is all yours. Choose this day. Choose every day, every moment. So battle is on. Battle is on. And we have our own demons. And that's called in the Bible, old sin nature. The old sin nature just wants to screw up everything that God had prepared for you. To destroy. So if you are here, discouraged, trouble, no love from father, mother, divorce, or anything else going on, I'm going to encourage you. Look to the Savior. Give your heart, give your mind, give your soul, give your all load to Him. And He said, come to me. I can take it. That's paraphrased. Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. And I will train you like they train ox on the field in India and in Pakistan. They put one trained ox and then the baby one who don't know even to walk. They put under the yoke and the trained one will train to the other untrained. So you are like, we are like an untrained ox. And Jesus is the mighty trainer. He will take our load and teach us how to be a disciple. So war is on and you're going to get hurt. And it's better to be with the Lord. Without Him, there's nothing. Without Him, there's no hope, no confidence. So, let. And this let is going to only happen when you let happen. He's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to grab your throat. The world, the age you are living, they are going to twist your arm. They are going to do everything to make you, to conform you to their ugliness. But Jesus Christ will take your good, bad, and ugly, and the worst. Say, if you let happen. It's only going to happen when you let happen. If you let Him come into your life, He will come. He's knocking. And if you let come to in your life, it will change your life. So I again talked to David, the man of experience, who knows how to fight and how to defeat his own enemy. Within and around him, we have an enemy. His name is Satan, deceiver, blamer, accuser, the one who wanna destroy you, one wanna give you a wrong plan, a wrong map to make your soul like, you know, without a compass. So let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. He's your hidden rock. He's your redeemer. And here's some names. I want to ask four questions. Have you trusted in Lord Jesus? Think about it. Have you? If not, Bible says, those who believe in the Son of God, God Himself give them a right to become a children of Almighty. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and He will spare you from the eternal destiny of, you know, hell. The wages of sin is death, but the grace of God is, you know, available as the eternal life. So if you haven't made that decision, think about it. That's the first question. Do you delight yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ? You find your joy in games, in worldly things, or somewhere else you're seeking a pleasure? Do you delight yourself in Lord Jesus Christ? If you're not, Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight in the Lord and I will give you the desires of your heart. Delight in me. Third one. Will you commit your way to Lord Jesus Christ? If you commit your way to Lord Jesus Christ, He will guide you. He will lead you. And even if you have a march, like a march was going on a long, long ago when a Babylonian army took the children of Israel and they were chained from cuff, their neck to neck, and they were just dragged over 1,000 miles. They were dragged and they were forced and they were going through the desert and they were just, you know, going through so much abuse. But there were several people who said, you know, His grace and His mercy, His loving kindness is just fresh every morning, because that person have the attitude, I will commit my way to the Lord Jesus Christ. So will you commit your life, your way, your plan, your destiny, whatever you call to Him, it will be way, way better. Way, way better than anybody can help you. There's no professional insurance guy will come. You know, if you spend that much and it will be, you know, 10 years this much, I will say, if you commit your wills to Lord Jesus Christ, it will be nothing that ever can compare on this earth. So that's the third question you should ponder today. Fourth one, are you resting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in the green pasture. He restores my soul. He provide me. Are you resting? So last three one will not happen if the first one will not take place in your soul. So you have to, you know, do the math. The first one, have you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? If it's not, find someone. It's very simple. It's very cheap for you to take something free, but Jesus paid the price for your soul. To bought you from the slave market of sin. To bought you, to train you, to make you his own, to train you to be a warrior. Those who are already believers in Jesus Christ, whether you like it or not, you are in battle. You are a warrior. So, those last three ones will not happen if you don't make the first one. Have your trust. Yes, Lord, I trust in you. I will delight in you. I will commit my way to you. And when you do that, the rest, the Lord of peace, Shalom, Jehovah Shalom will be all over you, in you, in you, around you. So there are some names. I don't know if I have a time. 10:15? Yeah, that's the last time. Okay, so 10 o'clock. So Almighty God, the Lord, El Shaddai. You can get all the names. You know, there's a lot of them. All Most High God, you know, a wonderful Adonai, the Lord, the Master, who is the one, you know, create everything and direct anything, you know. And the Lord, Yehovah Ra'ah. Remember last time we have a shirt that was given to the counselor? Ra'ah Kalib, shepherd dog. Do you want to be a shepherd dog of Lord Jesus Christ? Or you want to be, that's the quote coming from John Wayne. You can blame. No, I'm not going to mention that one. You can call me. Yikes. So I'm not going there. Lord is my shepherd. Lord is my healer. He can heal your soul. He can be your shepherd, guide you, lead you, and protect you. The Lord is there. When dad is not there, when mom is not there, when somebody is not there, when husband is not there, when friend is not there, he is there. He is there. Always. For you and me. Jehovah. Lord. A wonderful name. Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. He is your banner. Banner is used, you know, before the battle. That's the battle. You know, that's the force. That's the group is representative. So that was a banner for Israel. They knew that they are under the banner of Almighty. He is your righteousness. With our righteousness, it's a filthy rags. His righteousness is holy. Lord, who sanctify you, satisfy you, clean you like a snow. He take all your and my filth, all my guilt, he took upon him. Everlasting God is not the God of, like, you know, Babylon. They were existing and now they are dead. Nobody even recognized. God, Jehovah Elohim. He's jealous. Girls just jealous. You know, girls get jealous. It's normal because you love someone. My wife gets jealous when somebody, you know, blonde and blue and, you know, purple, hovering over me like, you know, bee on the beehive. I can see her face. And, you know, she become like a monitor to me. Bam, bam, danger, danger. It's normal. Jealousy is normal. Because God is jealous God for you. He don't want anybody else to take and have a place in your soul because they have nothing done for you. He did everything for you. So if there's a girl jealous, check your jealousy. It's a right jealousy, or you are jealous because you are jealous. And you just want to say, hey, how can I take her far away from him? He's jealous for you. He don't want you to give your heart, your soul, your mind, your attention, your anything to anyone. The same way it goes, like, or boys like, I get jealous too, because I don't want my wife to have, you know, heart for somebody else. And I will do anything to, you know, have that connection and just that love and that bond, connection and with my wife. I will not let anything come in that. So that's the way God does. He will not let anything come between you and Him. And that will be even sin or anything. He will say, I am the mediator. I will pay everything that need to be taken care of. And the Lord who provide. He provides everything. He provides how to fight. He provides how to walk. He provides how to guide. He provides whatever you need. And the last one, the Jehovah Shalom. He's your peace. Comfort. Your comfort is not found in a games. Your comfort is not found in a porn. Your comfort is not found in a food. Your comfort is not found in anybody else. Your comfort, your peace is from Jehovah Shalom. But the question is, if you let, it will happen. If you don't let, you become a stubborn like a Pharaoh, seeing everything, experience everything, watching him and his hands, guiding, providing, and doing everything, and then you say, I don't believe him. Then you are saying, I don't let him. And this is the last one, and awesome. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He is a God of armies. When I was in Pakistan fighting all the demons and witchcraft and magic men, I was talking to Brother Gene and my wife Carrie over the phone and Skype, and they were encouraging, and Gene was reminding me the passage from 2 years ago, the camp from 2 Kings chapter 4 something, and it was the passage about, you know, Elisha and his servant. Elisha just woke up like you guys woke up this morning and you saw there's a rain, but he saw armies have, you know, just surrounded them, the whole city. And he just say, he came to the Elisha, prophet Elisha, he said, you know, we are surrounded. He said, those, and he pray and he said, Lord, open his eyes. And guess what? God opened the servant eyes and he says, paraphrase, those who are with us more than those who are against us. That is the Lord of hosts. His army is all over you, around you. And I had a wonderful experience fighting demons in Pakistan. Real demons. I'm not talking about, you know, the movie. Maybe you have read novels or maybe stories or watched something horror movie. Nothing compared to real deal. Where's demons saying, stop uttering the name of Jesus. I said, I will. Utter the name of Jesus and you will leave. I have a lot of story I can tell you. If you can't sleep, come to my cabin. I will tell you a story and you will be peaceful. You will sleep like a baby after hearing that demon story. So Lord of hosts. So I got 7 minutes. I have a wonderful surprise. Like, you know, Takeaway. The final thing I want to ask you guys, we are all fighting our demon, our confusion, our self within something. But I want to tell you, man of experience like Isaiah, like David, like Paul, like Jesus himself, like Elisha, who have fought, who have saw, who have experienced and lived. They are not myth. Get out of your memory card and delete that vocabulary that they are myth or they are just, you know, stories or they are just history. They are real people today existing according to the Word of God, is alive and powerful, and every person who lived and depend and faced and fought is true. And the same God can do the same thing for you. The question is, are you going to say, but? Or are you going to say, I will draw near to Him. Come to me. Let me take my heart, my mouth, my soul to you, Lord, and my prayer and my meditation for you. So let's watch this video, and it will blow your way. And that will be your challenge. Maybe.